Nicole Small, welcome to the Friday Conversation.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
You took the CEO job 11 years ago. There were, at that time, three separate small museums kind of in dated facilities.
We like to say well-loved.
Well-loved. Could you have imagined back then kind of where you'd be now?
You know, we dreamed of a day like today where thousands of school kids and 50 school buses lined up this morning. But I will tell you, I think we all still pinch ourselves every day as we walk through the museum and just see those awe-inspiring moments happening everywhere.
Is there one thing that you regret doing or not doing over the last 11 years?
I think I wish we could have done it sooner. We live in a world where science and engineering and technology are going to solve most of the problems that we face when we turn on the news, whether it's weather like we're facing right now, whether it's disease. As I'm sure you're aware and most of the listeners are aware, United States is extremely far behind the rest of the world in math and science education, and it's scary. You know, I guess I just wish we could have done this 15 years ago.
So before taking this job, you worked at tech startups in Northern California, and obviously, at that time, the boom, the bust, the
right.
boom, the bust.
I like to say I've worked for lots of nonprofits.
You must have learned a lot about failure then. And I'm wondering what lessons you took from that time and applied to running the museum here.
You know, failure for us is a really important part of our story at the museum, actually, because when you talk about science, science is about getting comfortable with failure, right? I think if you talk to a lot of the Silicon Valley entrepreneurs that have started these huge companies, they'll tell you stories about how many times they failed. You know, this museum didn't happen overnight. There were a lot of challenges along the way. There were obstacles. I think if every time someone had said, no, we don't think this is going to happen, we had just quit, we wouldn't have a museum today.
Now, at home, you've got what might be the perfect science museum focus group, two daughters. They're 5 and 8.
Yes.
I'm curious, how have Sadie and Julia shaped the Perot Museum?
Well, it's funny because when I started this job, I had no children. And through the process of it, I like to say I actually have had three children, my two real ones in the building. And, you know, I used to take designs home and I would show them to my kids. I would talk to them about what we were building. And kids are really creative. And kids, because they haven't experienced failure or haven't experienced it in a way that makes them kind of shrink back up and not be willing to, they're full of ideas. It's also been fun to be a consumer and raise children in an environment where creativity is encouraged, where experimentation is encouraged. You know, they set up science museums at home for fun. So it works. And that's the fun part about it, too.
Your journey in the last few years is just remarkable. You raised $185 million. You got construction going. You're a little more than a year from opening, and you learned you had breast cancer. You had a double mastectomy, chemo, radiation, all while building a museum and raising two daughters and being a wife. How did you get through all that?
Ooh, fun times. You know, I always say you can plan things, but they don't always go the way you plan them. Obviously, it was shocking personally and for my family. And it's kind of the, you know, they always say it's the words you never want to hear. In a lot of ways, it recommitted me to the cause because I think the opportunity to have such a supporting, amazing team and board that I could work through all of that, actually, it really gave me something to get up for every day. Because otherwise, for anyone who's been through it, it obviously can be, you know, physically and emotionally. Nobody should have to go through what we went through. There's so many people who are probably listening today that are either going through it, have been through it with a friend or a family member. It touches too many people. And some kid who might walk through our door today might be the kid that's going to cure cancer. And so I feel fortunate to have been part of such an exciting project while I was going through such a personal challenge because I think it really helped me get up every day.
Now, at the end of the month, you're leaving this job to become president of the Lyda Hill Foundation. And I should point out that the Lyda Hill Foundation is a major donor to KERA. So why make this career move now?
For me, I think it's a natural progression to go from where I am at the museum to really thinking about some of these things on a more national and global scale as well. And so it's an opportunity to go out and work with her to help her change the world.
Has there been a successor chosen?
Not yet. The process is in the works, and we've got some really exciting candidates.
Okay, I have one final question. When it's closing time at the Perot, and the crowds are gone, the lights are starting to dim, and it's just you wandering alone, where do you go? Do you like saddle up the Mastodon and ride him cowboy?
You know what? We will never tell. We have our very own nights at the museum. We will never tell.
Nicole Small, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us.
Thank you so much for having me.